This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Europe is back in crisis mode after the Greek prime minister calls for a public referendum on the bailout.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, a conversation about John F. Kennedy's economics with Chris Matthews, who just wrote a book about JFK. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are sharply lower at the open this morning. The Dow down 270 points at 11,684. The NASDAQ down 2.3% and S&P 500 down 2.5%. European markets are down as much as 5.5% this morning. And it's all about what's happening in Greece. The prime minister there has called for a popular referendum on the country's unpopular rescue package. If people vote no, the whole European debt crisis is thrown back into doubt. Well, that's where we'll start now with Nick Malkoutsis, deputy editor of the Greek newspaper Kathy Marini. He is with us live from Athens. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, why would the prime minister want to ask for a popular vote after he already got this tough stuff through the Greek parliament?
Well, the reasons for him asking for it are not clear, and I'm afraid they're going to be lost in this maelstrom that has been created as a result of his decision. We're already looking like we may be heading for elections before we even get to the referendum. The government's facing a confidence vote this Friday in Parliament. And even if we do get to the referendum, there is a big fear that it will lead to a no vote that could have knock-on consequences for Greece and Europe.
Well, quickly, any chance the Greeks would say yes to this?
There's a possibility. The latest indication we had is a poll on Sunday that said 60% of Greeks feel negative towards the latest deal done with the Eurozone. But that's a mere indication at the moment. In 3 months, given what's gone on in with Greece and the Eurozone crisis, everything could change. So it's very difficult to predict at this stage.
Well, let's get a U.S. perspective now from Julie Neiman of Smith Moore & Company, who's on the line from St. Louis. Julie, I was going to talk to you about the Fed meeting that starts today, but what do you make of this news out of Greece?
Well, the markets basically are looking at it like a train wreck victim telling the doctor how to treat them. And the markets are reacting this way. It's Groundhog Day all over again. Here we go. Flight to safety is launched this morning. No safe havens except for gold and U.S. Treasuries. We're seeing massive hedge fund liquidations, and that's going to cause the liquidity prices. So the only thing that's growing are the mattresses. They're getting thicker. And with the Federal Reserve, no moves are expected today because the markets and the economy were showing signs of hope. But now you're going to see a statement of supporting liquidity in the face of Europe's permanent crisis here, and there are going to be worries that some of the inflation hawks will just be quashed for the time being, but it really is all about now keeping and supplying the markets liquid with cheap cash.
Julie Neiman, analyst with Smith Moore & Company, and Nick Malkoutsis in Athens. Thank you so much to both of you.
You bet.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at NovoNordisk-US.com.
There's a new book out today on the life and career of former President John F. Kennedy. Now, today we think of Kennedy as a liberal icon, but the book explains his economics were anything but liberal. Here to talk about that with us is the author of Jack Kennedy, Elusive Hero. That would be Chris Matthews from MSNBC's Hardball. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, we know about Kennedy as a visionary, a foreign policy president. What was his economic legacy?
Well, it was surprising because this is one area where Republicans of the supply side school have championed his legacy. He really did subscribe to Keynesian beliefs that the government needed to stimulate the economy. And of course, he believed in the space program for all kinds of reasons, that being one of them. He believed in the big defense buildup for that reason, too. He thought they'd all help produce jobs. And he did, in 1963, come out for a tax cut. Now, the irony of that time was that business opposed it. They were very much fiscalists in those days, and they wanted to get the budget deficit down, even though it was rather modest by today's terms. So, ironically, he was, at the time, perceived to be a liberal with policies today which are perceived to be conservative.
Yeah, he was critical, you write, of the New Deal and Franklin Roosevelt's economics, saying, quote, they put emphasis on rights rather than responsibilities.
That is so Jack Kennedy. And I think that it's hard to put a ideological tag on that kind of thinking, but he really believed in individual responsibility. In fact, the ask not exhortation in the inaugural was about individual people doing something, not asking for relief or welfare or some kind of pork barrel. It was about doing something yourself and for your country. And I think that was really him. And I don't know what kind of a tag you can put on that.
Do you think that he understood the troubles that ordinary Americans went through? This guy was a war hero, a Harvard graduate, born into a very powerful family.
I think he understood the irony of life's unfairness. I think he certainly knew he was born to privilege. In fact, remember that great line in his first race for Congress when all the other fellows who had not fought in the war, and he had, and that was, of course, his great strength in that campaign. It was a khaki election, as they said back in the Boer War days. I mean, he was running as a returned serviceman. He said, I guess I'm the only one here that didn't come up the hard way.
What do you think today's politicians on both sides can learn from Jack Kennedy?
Wow. Guts. Be a war hero. Be a something of an intellectual, a reader of history. Have the perspective of your times, but also what came before. I think being honest with the people and about your own mistakes. Jack Kennedy was essentially a patriot. And that's why I think most Republicans look back on him as not just their favorite Democrat, probably their favorite American president.
Chris Matthews, author of Jack Kennedy, Elusive Hero, thanks so much for talking with us.
Hey, Jeremy, thank you so much.
And finally, to New York City, 79th Street on the Upper East Side, to be exact. That's where Mayor Michael Bloomberg lives, and apparently he's famous for giving out full-size candy bars at Halloween, not just the little bite-sized ones. But last night, according to the New York Times, the candy giver-outer at the mayor's house, who was dressed up as Elmo, was giving out the same old mini Kit Kats and Tootsie Rolls that you can get at a common millionaire's house. Still, the candy was all given out to trick-or-treaters, $1,000 worth, according to police. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Trees come down, beer prices go up, even fires get a little hotter and a little faster in an election year.
From the point of view of a fireman, he's going to have a much more difficult year if it's an election year.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Elections and their strange side effects. It's what? Yes, Freakonomics Radio. Next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.